Channel One Wright and beginning of the visit with Everett is Friday about supper, the 7th of April, 72. Channel One Wright and beginning of the visit with Everett is Friday before supper, the 7th of April, 72. Channel One Wright and the beginning of the visit with Everett is Friday before supper, the 7th of April, 72. Channel One Wright and beginning of the visit with Everett is Friday before supper, the 7th of April, 72. Channel One Wright and the beginning of the visit with Everett is Friday, the 7th of April, 72.
They're signing. I said, no. I'll wait. But they had a meeting, and I didn't knock off work. I'd work in GP, and they said they may come over and see me. But they didn't come over there to Lightness.
Yeah.
I don't know how they came out with a meeting. But I didn't go. They had it at 5:30 last week. Then last weekend when it rained, looked like you had a little water. I see water rich and bottom. I don't know why it's worlds of it.
I hadn't seen it like that in a long time.
It rained 5 inches in Jacksonville. When I came home, someone said we had 9 inches, but I don't think we had that much. I believe it was about 6.
Over at your house?
Yeah.
I measured mine.
What'd yours measure?
7.
It did?
Yeah.
Well, we might have had 7. I know it pulled a pond up, and we got to continue.
Oh, Lord, it's nice to sit down, man. I've been...
You're not drinking any of this, so...
My old car's been on the blink. Ain't it awful to have... Let me tell you. Ain't it awful to have a car on the blink? I can't get anybody to work for me.
You can't?
No.
Well, he likes old model tractor. You ever carry it down at old Fred?
Yes.
Fred couldn't get on it?
No.
He's busy?
Yes. And then, this is the luck I have with Fred. He'll want a fuel pump, but he don't have one.
That's right. So well, that's the way with all these little fellas. And if you go to the garage, they charge you $10 an hour like we did in the sister-in-law. But how about J.C. Reeves? Now, he got transportation where he can go and get you a fuel pump or tell you and let your wife pick it up and leave the car and he can bring you back home.
Well, I hadn't thought about that.
That's where George, he had to fix that pickup of his. It was diaphragm or something in his pump was gone, that Ford pickup.
Yeah.
And he left the truck and... He serviced it and gave it a deal.
Well, I hadn't thought about that, you see. Faye's uptown right now, you see.
Yeah, what I say, if you knew that what it was, why, she could bring you a fuel pump. J.C. can get it now. I'd buy that stuff wholesale. I'm having a little trouble with my pickup. I got the filter blocked out. I caught it in time.
Yeah.
There's one little flexible hose.
No,
I don't have my coffee. Had coffee? No. Yeah, I don't have mine. You use milk and cream, sugar?
Yeah.
You use milk, but I don't use the milk. I use a little bit of sugar.
That's sugar over there. Is that sugar?
It looks like sugar.
It's
look like sugar in there to me. It's a sugar dish, isn't it? It ain't salt, I don't believe it. Somebody else coming up.
That's a truck. They know where to put it. Let me tell you.
You won't.
How do you get your feed and your stuff?
What you mean, feed?
I order mine from Seminole.
I don't mess on what little bit I got. It got my Smith ball wet glue up there. But I haven't used any this winter. We haven't had no winter, see. I ain't bought any pup and cottonseed meat.
Salt and things like
that. Well, I get it from Seminole. I get my mineral and the blocks of salt. No, I pick it up in the pickup.
You don't have to. They don't charge anything for bringing it out.
No, Avery had his to bring his, and Avery bought a fertilizer from him. But this is when I fertilized my oats. I planted oats like Max. Did you go on around looking for oats on my combine? Boy, next week, he thinks it'd be ready next week, but I told him I didn't believe it would.
They was all talking about them, but I didn't see them.
But Max seemed to think they're about ready, but I looked at them yesterday evening, and... Lightning boy said, no, it said it'd be about a week. I said, I don't believe it'd be ready in a week. He said, well, they're getting right in a hurry now with this 80 or 85 degree weather in the daytime.
Yeah.
And I said, well, they may be. And I'm going to come by. But anyway, it's cutting here, and I'm going to bail them for him.
Yeah.
He's cutting a milk stage. He's working up the university, you know, the way you are, and he wants me to bail him for him, break him and bail him. He's going to cut him with a sycamore, the milk stage, see, and bail the thing and all, but I'm going to, the horse people are going to get to bed, and we're going to clip the top off the head and say the oath. Now, Lightning said there's 30 bushel acre. I don't believe there's that many. But the, whatever's there, well, we're going to get them, and then we're going to come back and cut the, you know, the bedding,
yeah,
and bail it, and if they don't come get it, well, Lightning said he'd haul it to them for $5 a ton,
yeah,
in other words.
Yeah.
And get $25 haul, but they come pick it up in the field, let them have it $20 a ton, you know, that straw.
Yeah.
Get it off the land, and I'm going to put it in that, I decided I, instead of putting it in a coastal, I'm going to put it in a Swanee. And I mow that Swanee about twice or three times. Ordinarily, Lightning, I mow, they have mowed it five times. But this last year, they only mowed it three times. But they got a world of hay over there. Of course, they...
Well, now you got to plant that every year.
No. No, it's just like this other grass. You don't have to plant it every year.
I don't know about that.
Swanee, it's just like coastal and like Pangola. Yeah. It's a little better. It's a little better hay than... I don't like the coastal Bermuda, tell you the truth. I like the Pangola, but the... cold weather, getting the blues. That's what I just mowed today, you know, with 10 acres that lady. Call it 11, but they're about 10 acres. I started at 11 o'clock, and I got through at 3:30.
I missed your tractor and your mower.
Yeah,
and,
well, I had it, and I was over outside the highway toward Naked Open. Did you come that way?
No.
Well, I was right side the road.
Well, I started to ask Everett where you was.
Ernest? Well,
I mean Ernest.
Well, he knew it. I went, because I'd got the 2 gallon of gas from him.
Yeah.
And what nine, I sold that circulating heater to a colored man. I wasn't using it. Been there since mother died. Now, wasn't it? It was a packed a brand new one. So we're going to try to keep it home, you see. And thing cost about $300 or $400.
And it, now, say that again.
Circulating duathermal heater.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
With a fan on it.
Yeah.
Heat the whole house.
Yeah.
Used kerosene. I had a 120-gallon tank inside the house and a copper tube, you know, fed it.
Sure.
And a tank, you know, why it lasts a season, more than a season, mother, you know, have it on all day long.
Yeah.
Cut it down, you know, it had a light on it.
Now, what about it? You still got
it? I know, I sold it, and the kerosene tank, it had a lot in it, and they couldn't move it, so I brought out four cans in the thing, kind of like yours, you got one thing on it.
Yeah.
And I drew out four cans, and I said, well, I'm using it for tractor fuel to make gas with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Ernest, did he have it? I said, I don't have any tractor fuel because I haven't used a tractor in a good while because I've been on that jiffy for a couple of months working on no corrals and still haven't seen
it. Oh, I figured they caught you. You see, I hadn't seen you. I hadn't even seen you anywhere around.
Got hurt over there and I thought, we messing them calves, a commercial calf, and they bought one of those new turntables, you know, to lay them down and cut them, you know.
Yeah.
Well, this cost about $400. And they bought a new squeeze. It cost about
$700-$800. Yes. Worth it.
And that's right. And of course that man got plenty of money.
Yeah.
But to cut those calves and got a half a bushel of mountain oysters. Do you like mountain oysters?
No, I never tried them.
You haven't? But the doctor, they gobble them
they
up.
Them.
But a lot of white people like them. But I've got a hurdle while messing over here, and a cow, we got the calves separated, and one of them, the gate opened on the inside. Well, you know how it is, whoever built that stuff over there, they don't build stuff right, just like your blueprint he got from university. You know, I told you about that Henry coming in there with a blueprint from Oklahoma. Have you ever met him?
Oh, don't talk to me about him.
And Dr. Cunha? Dr. Cunha does fare well, but Henry, he's a young fella, and... he's one of those smart fellas. You know what I mean? But
just,
I started.
Just don't talk to me about it.
Well, you don't have too good opinion of him either.
I've had some dealings
with him. Yeah. Anyway, I told him up there. I said,
but now most of them up there are nice fellas.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice to deal with.
That's right. Dr. Cunha's all right.
Yes.
He was head of the whole animal science department. I didn't have any trouble with him. He knew it. I was a country boy and I'd had the experience. And the old saying is, a lot of times the experience is worse, you know, a lot of that knowledge out of the book.
Yes,
a lot of them fellas know where they got the knowledge out of the book, but you put them doing something, why, they can't cut the ball out of a calf, or they don't know how to build something where it'd be safe for the people handling them.
Yeah.
And Jippy told old man over there, old man asked me, could I build it? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, have you ever built it? I said, yes, I built several. And, you know, I think I told you about one up in the neighborhood up there. I built one, and he made it. He didn't want to buy one. The squeezer made it. I had to have my pipe bent and that catch. And he bought a sash cord, you know, the thing, you know, the trip the thing, and put a spring on it. But Jippy said, we're going to build it like we want it. But we messed them calves, and that calf, cow, mammy, you know, got kind of mean, and she snorted, you know, and kind of shook her head, you know, mucus come out of her mouth, and the gate opened inside, and I didn't have time. And the old saying there, you heard it, hit the fence. I hit the fence when I did, you know, got over balance and went on the ground and hit on this artificial limb and broke the joint on it, and I did, I sprained my knee.
Good God Almighty. That cost you, haven't
so it? I knocked off at 2 o'clock, and I hobbled to my truck and come on home, and my knee was hurting me. I could walk away kind of halfway stiff, but I straightened it out while it felt like somebody popped a needle in that knee. And I said, well, if I mess that knee joint up, I'll be stiff-legged, and I'll have to use a crutch and throw this leg around the rest of my days.
Yeah.
And I came on home, and then I said, well, I'd put it in a box and go right on to the where the man built his new one. I got the new one on now. I think I told you about getting it last Christmas, $500.
Oh, yeah.
And I carried the old one up there, and he says, I'm not a doctor, but getting this Plymouth Fury here. I said, what's going to do? I'm going to carry you to the med center where the x-ray equipment is and have it x-rayed. I said, boy. Well, he seemed to be a likable sort of a boy.
Yeah.
He'd been known him for years. He used to be in Jacksonville before we got that place in Gainesville next to the bus station. And I said, it'll cost me $35, $50. No, it won't cost you a penny, he says. I said, them people give me a lot of business. I'm already out there, you know, it's government business and all. He gets his money for his stuff, you know. So he had one of those interns or one of those doctors handle that x-ray stuff and was taking two pictures and it didn't show no crack in the knee or nothing. And one of them told me, says, that it's probably sprained the leader. And he says, don't rub it in no liniment, but at night, he used a little amphogistine, that other, you know, rubbing stuff at night.
Onion tea. Yeah.
Said, rub it at night when you go to bed,
yeah,
but with that wool sock on in the daytime, it'll blister you. But he said, rub it at night, in other words, and if it's not better in 2 or 3 days, come back. So I felt a little better then, and I said, well, it's all right. So I'd off wet for about 3 days there, and it finally, you know, got all right.
Oh, you stayed off of it?
Yeah.
Well, you got more sense than I thought.
That's right. Yeah,
no,
I said, it wasn't
on me. You can't take a chance with a thing like that.
No, you can't, because my age, in other words, if I have to be stiff-legged in one knee the rest of the day, they kind of handicap me sure enough.
Well, let me tell you, I come by Max's, and he had just come in, him and his wife, what's her name?
Ivor May
had just come in from down below Ocala. He bought him another hearing aid, and it lasted a day, and then went blank, and he took it back and gave it to him. And he was nervous.
Yeah.
Oh, he was as nervous as he could be.
That's fine.
Well, let me tell you. He said he didn't reckon he just wouldn't fool with any more of them. And then he said if he ever got another one, he'd just go to a place where they had a whole number of them to select from, and he'd just try them out till he got one to suit him. Well, let me tell you, I can't find out much from him, and what I find out is not too satisfactory. A man wouldn't go off and shop around for a hearing aid, you'd want to go to the doctor.
That's right.
You?
That's what my daddy done. He got one. I got one at the house. And I tried to let his sister have it, but she didn't want it. She went to the man that handled them and had picked her out one. That's Lois, you know, one that moved back up here. His sister down there got the estate money, in other words, and got $11,000 for her child part. And she came up and built some rooms on the sister's house around next to my oats patch. And I told her I'd give it to her. Well, the thing cost about $50, $60 now, and I reckon it's $100 now. A good one, it's the bell tone. And I says, putting new batteries in it, and it might be all right. And I said, isn't why it's adjustable like a blooming radio or something or other. You can tune that thing another one, get it. And if the knuckle don't fit your ear, you can get another little knuckle concerned it fits in your ear. And it got a cord, you know, you keep it hid, you know, and in your bosom, and in your man can keep it in his pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But she didn't want it, she went and bought her one.
Yeah. Well, Maxie told me what he paid for this. $195.
Yeah, well, it ought to be in good shape. Because like, my daddy got it way back on, and it was, you know, he used it for years, but he passed away. It was sitting there in a case, you know. Looked like some kind of jewelry box, a nice case. And it's a bell tone. It's one of the best, supposed to be.
Yeah.
And they send that letter to another, and finally I wrote to people and told them to send it to Mrs. Bell.
Now, who is Lois?
Lois and Alice. That's Max's sisters.
Oh. You mean they're already hearing to them?
Both of them. Alice is deaf to the poor. Lois is like Max's. She can hear a little bit if it talk real loud.
Yeah.
And close to in one ear, you know, a little bit better than the other, but it runs in the family.
Yeah.
About all of them, you know, a little bit harder here. Yeah.
Just runs in the family.
Yeah, runs in the family. Inherited, I reckon.
Well,
I'd
be done if I'd want that.
But it's rough. But the Max, in other words, he ought to, you know, be like my daddy. Now, he got along fine with his. But
Where did that little house come from that Lois and Alice live in over there?
That was her husband's home. In other words, when she married Bell.
Bell
was who she married. And she was old when she married him.
Oh, was she?
Mm-hmm. And he passed away.
Yeah.
And then she was left alone, in other words. And
well, where did she live all the other time before she married him?
She lived at Max's. That was a home place. She stayed
there
and taking care of Max's, yeah.
Living and took care of him?
Yeah. And Max's had him, you know, picking beans and squash and picking pole beans off of corn stalks and working in the field. He and Lois both. But Lois married when she was old, see?
Oh, did she?
And her husband, he was a carpenter and one of the Lime Rock plant men, in other words, and he had a farm, and Lois, you know, she got out and went down there with him.
Yes.
But Max, he had them girls, you know, work for him, and he was the boss of them, and he kept, you know, took care of the money at the Navy, you know, and bought the grocery farm, but they earned the keep. And Max finally wound up, you know, with a home place.
Yeah.
Old Wax.
Yeah.
But Max is kind of shrewd. That's what they always said, of course. That's that business, no, but I ain't got anything to do with it. But now and then, why, Duncan had given most of the road on that graded road, and now and then, why, he doesn't want to move, you know, up close to his mailbox, and he didn't know where Duncan would have gone, and he doesn't know give any road, see. But around that thing, why, my line is like that girl takes in the pecan tree, and my line come right in front of the doorstep. And I gave all the road, you see, before. Now and then, the engineer has been out, in other words, surveying it and taping it. They got to have 60 feet. First, they wanted 66. Then they cut it down to 60. I said, what in the world? I said, you need such a road and no school buses travel it now. The mailman carried it. But I said, why you have to have? Why don't you pave it like it is and have a narrow paved road for cars to pass? Well, they're not allowed to do that, but it's, you know, on the agenda and the money of the there, and it's on the next deal. And that's when they want to get them assigned. But Bakefield, he throwed that thing out on that big old automobile on the hood and wanted me to sign the lease as I give the process. I said, no, wait a minute here. And what I didn't like, as I told you once before, a man is steal and lie. I don't have much dealing with him. Didn't I tell you that once before? And he told me a story, and I would have said everybody else is signed, you know. And I come to find out they hadn't. But I didn't sign the thing. I wasn't no hasty thing to sign it, see? Because I come to find out there's about 5 for it and 4 hadn't signed anything. There's about 5 of them wanted, particularly the man that wants to put a subdivision around that, bought Max's brother's place. They done got it starved off. They're going to sell them lots around there, maybe $500 or $1,000 a lot. Well, it's 7 lots in an acre, you know, like you got a town. And the hippies out there already picking out the lot. These long-haired boys, in other words, gypsies, in other words. Gonna make a subdivision out of it. But they didn't want to give in. Max is one that he found out, says, he'd been to see me about 3 times. Well, it's hard to hear, and, you know, and he had all that muff around his ear, I think he did today. Thing, cap, you know, and hey, it's covered up, Parson. And he said, I went down there, I was there, and found out them people, they are in position. He says, some of the kin folks are in that Fidelity Federal thing down at Ocala. And he says that I told that lady to tell her pa-in-law to phone me. Well, it phoned her, wasn't it? Max was going to meet him over there, and he waited and waited, and the man didn't come. So Max come on back, and he started pulling some old nightshade, cutting some thistle or something. And then the man, he went on back, you know what? Then he called, and Ivan may, you know, answer the phone and said, well, he waited over an hour. And he said, I can't talk on the phone. And he told Ivan may to call him and tell him if you wanted to see him, come up there. Well, he came, and he made a mistake, in other words. So Max said, I didn't hear the conversation. But that fellow named Weeks, and he said, my clients, they wouldn't want me to give any of my property away, in other words. So we must have already had some clients that were going to buy the lot, see? And Max had done given his share of the road, and he wanted them to come on his side, see? And that was one of Max's brother land over there that he accumulated, that Joe Mixon, see? And they come on around that party, he wants it. And that Weeks wants it. Bill Anderson down there wants it. But I told him I was immaterial. I called old long distance. He lives in Summerfield somewhere down there. I called him collect and called him at the house at night. But he left a note on the gate. He didn't put it on the scene. He left it on the gate and put a clamp on it where I could see it. And said that he wanted to meet me, you know, the next morning at 10:30. But I told Ernest, I said, I can't lose, you know, $22 a day, and I was working over yonder to meet that man. I said, I'm not interested in it. And that's when I said, well, I'd call him. So I called him collect, you know, that night, that same night. And he wanted me to meet him the next morning. And told him if he wanted to see me, he could come over and they could tell him where I was at Pine Acre Ranch, what corral I'd be at. You know, I'd be in the one, you know, I reckon down there next to Reginald Johnson. You know, they bought Reginald Johnson land back, in other words, from him. Then they rented a little of it, and the man, they're going to put it in the tomato plants, I think, or something. $10 an acre, I think. They rented one block of $10 an acre. Yeah. Then they said after he got the tomato plants off, they put it in grass. But he didn't come away, and he said he might, not what, but didn't come away to see me. But it wasn't long before both of them come, and that's when he had the sheet and wanted me to sign the release, and I wouldn't do it. And I haven't seen him anymore, and then they're going to meet over at Charlie Mixon's corner. In Larry Party corner. And wanted all that was interested in the road to meet. Well, I wasn't interested, so I didn't go.
Yeah.
Max didn't go, and Air Whittington, he didn't go, and Miles didn't go, Mixon.
So they're not all interested in it?
No. But the four or five that wanted it, and Chambers, the one that married that widow, you know, she was kin to me at Jim Chambers at Orange Lake. Did you ever meet him? He used to be a. Oh, the boy, no, but he never had done much work. He was a guide, you know, on that boat crew down there.
Yeah.
Kept people out, you know, where the speck was biting, you know, and
yeah.
They'd tip him, you know, and he'd make $10-$20 a day. If they had good luck, you know, he might give him a $20 bill for the day he worked, you know what I mean. And that's what he liked, and but they want the road bad. But I see that point, and them kin tell me I don't want to be no snake, in other words, and that the road, you know, step off the front porch on the highway, you wouldn't want a road in front of your door here where you step out on the highway.
Not if I can help it.
That's what I say. But I said then, I said, I will. If the other people sign and give, you know, the 5 and 10 feet you're supposed to have, and Mrs. Bell up there, that's the next sister, if she would go on the other side. Then he would tell him the story about the REA. It's not like Florida Power. They got that right away and they won't move them 2 or 3 light poles. I said, what's the matter they won't? I don't see why they want to move it on over. So she gives the land, you know, for the thing, put it on the outer edge like it is now on the fence line, see? But I give all the road on the south side. Now then he wanted 17 feet off of mine. And Max said then, he said, well, he said, if they take that and take the 10 up there in front of Gladys, he said, you won't have enough room in there to turn your tractor around. And, you know, laughed and held his jaw together when he laughed, said that, see. Well, he's right, in other words. But I told the man, I said, I'm not interested in giving you 17 feet. He said, well, it take them trees down. And he said, your taxes won't be up. Well, I knew then, I wasn't no dummy, in other words. I went to school. is he didn't have anything with old Flim Flam down there. You in Alachua or man?
Alachua.
Yeah, well, old Flim Flam and Flim is the one we have, and he doesn't have any authority of setting the taxes on a piece of land. And then old Brakefield, he says, he done made me mad when he told me a lie, you know, I was a hole up, you know, and he unrolled that scroll, I call it a scroll, and wanted me to sign the dotted line, see what I mean? Well, the X was, won't put my signature. But I was not no dummy. And he said, it's a fair question, what are your taxes on this? Says, I know it's separate from your home place. A fair question, what is it? I said, well, it's right at $30, you know, for the accident. It's lead maker, what the deed called for, but I done give the road and less than 10 acres in there now. Then if I 10 feet at a fifth acre, I couldn't figure. Now, well, I don't know anything about figuring mathematics. I didn't go to school. But he figured out, you know, with that 10 feet and the length of it, and said, that's a fifth of an acre. I said, well, all right, that's $150 there. If the land is, and I don't want to sell the land. I said, I could have done sold the land. In other words, $600 an acre. And Chamberlain, I wanted if I sold it, but they couldn't pay but $500 an acre. That's all they could pay. Well, I don't want to sell it to anybody. In other words, I don't want to sell it for $1,000. Eventually, I might get $1,000 an acre for, you know, put houses on it, see?
You're not hurting.
But I said, I'm not wanting to sell the land. But he said, well, he says, it won't raise your taxes any. But he's not the one. The county commissioner, in other words, is the one, you know, that put the millage up. And that's what, you know, one decides that. You know that without me telling you. Fleming don't know anything about it. Now the county commissioner want to raise the millage and want more money. Yeah. And they said, we're going to leave the millage as is. I said, it's just like our governor. I voted for that snake, old Agnew. The Dick and Buddy said, you'll be kissing it before it's over with, and that's what we're doing already. He wasn't in there no time before he had to have some more money. Now in the county commissioner, Mr. Rowe, is our man. He said, you know George Rowe. I said, I raised up with him. And I said, he went to Carolina, you know, and his daddy turned him over to me, and he wanted to spend all the money his company had. They deposit, you know, $20,000 or $50,000 or $100,000, you know, a week for us to use for the company that I'm used in New Jersey, you see. And we were using it for watermelon money, you see. And we was in business, and they're buying some field. And George is wanting the project. And George went out there and looked at the man, this bird. He had a bulldozer and had an airplane, and he wanted to sell his watermelon in the field where he could sit around and talk and bull skate. You know how it is. Wouldn't aggravate with labor or nothing. Just take it easy. And the boss man, I worked in the company, and they told me to go out there and check it, in other words. So I skipped over the field there, and I counted the watermelon, you know, markable, in other words, on a row. And I went over, you know, about 10 acres in the field, and I counted another. And I figured it got my understanding of what I thought the field was. Because up there you had the hailstorm and everything else. It may rain and ruin them all. It popped wide open. You know, when the rain comes and that stem take it up while you touch it with a knife, it'll pop there to air, the old saying there.
Yeah, and you got them at home and eating them, you like for them to do that.
Yeah, well, that's right. But you handle them and put them in them trucks, in other words, while you get to the market, while you got so many cutbacks. They're docked, you see. And I said, I can't see it. They didn't want to go again. I said, I'm not going anymore. I said, I done checked it and know what I want. But they went on and bought it. My uncle was up there. He's a bookkeeper. And he said, well, let's buy it. We need the watermelon to fill orders. So they bought it. I don't know, $20,000, I believe, they gave the man. And they had the money to get it. And they had a time. Then they cut us off working for other people. See, I had my truck up there. I carried that Dodge truck that I sold old Caulky. I carried it there brand new. I had the stake cow's body on there. I carried a load of boards and end pads to use, you see. And I'm boys up there, and I had two boys went up there, and I paid them $50 a week straight time. And they got the labor out of the putwoods up there, you know, to haul it. And I was making money on the side. And they take my truck and my men, you know, to put it and put about 8 or 10 trucks down to get the watermelons out. And they're lucky enough, you know, to get it out before the hailstorm come. That's when it come, and they had to repaint that truck of mine. It rains and thunder and lightning. And the doctor left, you know, the truck and went to the old house. And they got an old house while a big old tree there standing next to it while the lightning kissed it. And you talk about coming out of there, they come back and got underneath the goddamn truck. But hail come down as big as a golf ball. I never seen it in my life, but that's the darn truth. I've heard of it. You have too. You ever seen hail that big? And it ruined the paint job on that Dodge truck, and in the guarantee they had to repaint it again. That's the reason it looked so good, no Corker got it. Did you see it?
Yeah.
After he cleaned it up, it looked good in you, and didn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't see it no more. You go over and drive it in the watermelon field like you said you were going to do?
No.
You didn't?
Let me tell you. You know, I took a liking to that truck when you had it over there.
It's a good truck. It was good.
It was a good truck, yes, sir. You see. It
well, after I sold it, why, 3 or 4 people. I liked to have it. I liked the boy said, if I'd known you got shed of it, I wouldn't. Well, that William boy said he'd like to have it. And old Jawhead said, I'd like to have it. I done sold mine. I'd like to have that truck. Old Farmer.
Well,
but I done sold it to Cork, you know. He come over and had it checked, you know, from the university, in other words, and wanted to pay for it, see?
Yeah.
And I told him, all right.
Well, you see, it had that beautiful body on it.
Yeah. That's right. And it was ready. It had the watermelon body on it, ready to go to hauling watermelon.
Ready to go to hauling watermelon.
And he thought it froze up and they had another motor, but you know, he went home and poured oil. Did he tell you about pouring and letting it set overnight?
Yeah.
And put a little gas in it and pulled it off of that Ford truck and the blooming thing cranked up.
Yeah.
That's what he told me. I wasn't there, but he told me it did.
That's what I understood.
And the thing run, you know, just as good as it did and put it on the shed.
Yeah.
But it was in A number one. It wasn't using me lying about it. It was A number one when I put it on the shed.
Yeah.
He came back and got the spare because that boy hit a stump in that new ground and one of the front tires, the dry rider rigging, but you hit a stump or a rock or something, and I rigged it probably low of air and loaded with watermelon.
Yeah.
It ruined it, see? It blowed out, see?
Yeah.
And he come and got the spare, and I had to get it off of that thing that he'd hauling that chop on and let it down on a block of wood, and he carried it back with him in that old, Lincoln or Cadillac or some kind of goddamn big old car.
Yeah.
But he had a world of junk in the back end of that thing.
Yeah.
He tried to put it in the door, and it wouldn't, that big tire, you know, it's bigger, and it wouldn't go, and then he had to rearrange some of it, too, you know, and he let it in, and he tied the blooming trunk down, you know, after he had the, well, he had all, you know how he is, he got the obvious tools. That old boy, Ray, pretty good mechanic, they say. I don't know, you know more about him than I do already.
Yeah,
he's pretty good mechanic.
I'll tell you what he is. He's not what you'd call a good mechanic these days, because he don't know these systems. You know, on the big cars, he don't know all them systems.
That's what.
But now, the way you and me would work, you see, he's a extra good mechanic. That old tractor yours,
you see. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're
the same thing.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that water out of the pot?
Yeah.
Which one? This one?
Yeah. Let me get a little bit more, and I'm out too.
Hot?
No, it won't take a minute to hot it though.
Sometime if you got, I don't know, hot water there, if you let it run a little bit, it'll get hot enough, but it won't take a minute. But I hadn't seen him anymore, and I wanted a sideboard to haul them horses, and I told him, in other words, those sideboards, I'd have to have, you know, $25 of them.
Sideboards. Oh, yeah, they're worth it.
And I said, if you built them, why, they'd cost you $100.
Oh, yes. And couldn't do it.
No. And I said, it needs a standard or so, but I said, you can put a standard in there. And he said, well, I said, I'll come back and get them. I'm hauling them in pickup when I go to hauling them horses. Well, he told me, he's thinking about carrying them old big old stallion, or what do they call them old big-footed thing, to Virginia or something goddamn where.
Yeah.
And he asked me, when that truck would make it. I said, well, it made it to Carolina, and I went back and forth, in other words. And I said, I didn't have no trouble with it. And I says, but he never did come and get the side. They're still on the shed over there.
Yeah.
But he's going to put that boy hauling on watermelon, and the man had 200 or 300 acres, and I know he made enough, you know, to pay for the
well,
the truck.
Yeah, Cookie miscalculated on that. He figured the boy could do it. The boy couldn't do it.
Well, that's what I figured.
He didn't,
have
the, you see, he's too young. He
yeah.
didn't have the manage.
That's right. That's what I figured.
He couldn't. You see, when you got hands loading, you got to keep enough melons going, you see, to pay your hands.
Yeah.
Well, he couldn't do that.
Well, that's what I figured, but I didn't tell him. Now, I let the last time that truck was used, I let Miles, the boy, Allen, Nixon, had the truck, and we worked it on halves.
Yeah.
Paid the expenses, and I was half the expenses.
Yeah.
And he drove the truck and helped unload, you know, at the cars.
Yeah.
And got in the field, he kept the labor together and paid off the labor, kept the time, and paid them off.
Yeah.
And, we made a little bit of money. He and I both of them. He's making me about $100 a week, and he's making about $100 a week after expenses and all been paid. See what I mean? In other words, I believe he paid me, usually about 3 or 4 weeks, and I believe he paid me nearly $500 for my part, and he made nearly $500, you see. But that boy here, I could tell that boy was a teenager, and he looked flighty and nervous and reckless. Well, I figured he'd probably tear the goddamn truck up. But he did tell me that the boy, you know, hit a darn stump or a snag or something in a new ground field. That man had the melon, a blackjack or something, snag, and ruined one of the tires. Well, the tire was old, but it was pretty fair, and it was fair with it. So he come back, and of course, I went with him over there, and we taken it off, and he put it in that old Eldorado, I believe that thing is, and carried it on back. But it was sitting in the field with a half a load of watermelon on, he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you told me that you thought you might would help him and keep the boy straight and drive it and let the boy catch on the truck.
Yeah.
And you could drive the truck if you, you know, didn't do anything but drive. You'd do that if you felt like it. You could throw off a few, you know, relieve a man once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, not throw off a whole load because you like I am. You don't got the age. Well, you wouldn't want to unload 300 or 400 watermelon, but you could unload 50 or 75 before you had to get your ass.
You could spell them.
Yeah. And the other man, you know, turned about. That's the way they used to do. And all, but I didn't see Corky anymore. But I didn't know whether you'd seen him after he got started, but I figured, just like you said, that boy didn't have the managerial ability.
Well,
and him working at the university and that boy, he wouldn't do much.
No.
But he didn't.
Well, what he done was bring that old truck on back and set it in the backyard. And you see, that fine old body, it would, as old as it was, it would last just as long as you kept it under shed.
That's right. Well, that's the way it was. It was made out of virgin yellow pine. I told
you
about
that. He left it out in the open.
Yeah, in the rain.
And I hate to see it now.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that. You know, I hated that.
Well, what did the boy do? Did he go into service? Uncle Sam get him? Or where did he go? He pull out and go somewhere and get him a job? Or what did the boy finally do?
No, he's still working around.
Yeah.
He works around service stations. He got a little job here, there, and yonder, you know. But he couldn't take that much responsibility.
Well, the time, though, he's old enough, but I said to myself then that that boy. That's good. Oh.
Well, now, he's a nice boy, you see.
Yeah,
but
he seemed to be.
He just didn't have that's too much responsibility for him.
Said he had a nice sister, too. I needed to see her.
Oh, yeah, she's nice.
But he said it.
Well, you know what happened to Cookie? Cookie left about 2 weeks ago for the sanitarium in Tampa with tuberculosis. One lung just about gone and the other way gone.
No kidding.
And it's something that he got recently and just went fast.
I'll be doggone. Went to that sanatorium down there.
Yeah, so he's down there flat on his back now.
Well, here in the last month, I lost two relatives. Two of my sister-in-law, each one of them lost their brother. One of them was cancer, and the other one was a heart attack.
Yeah.
One that had a heart attack, he was 65 and should have retired, but he didn't. He had wanted to get his shop like he wanted to. They sold his place of business down there on the Hillsborough River downtown there for nearly $1 million. And after he got that money, well, then he wanted to build him a foundry like he wanted to build. You know what I mean?
Like he never had
before. But he could have taken that money, in other words, and retired on it. His wife was a bookkeeper.
Yeah.
But no, he went and built him an outfit for $250,000.
Yeah.
And he hired about 7, 8, 10 men, had the responsibility of paying them off every week and still getting no mold and everything and building that stuff. And all business now, 90% is on credit, on paper. But he had enough money, you know, to kind of go for a while. Then he'd have money to collect, you know, some of them big bills. You know, some of them think they're running $1,000. And they kind of slow, you know, people paying.
Yeah.
And that would worry him, though, wouldn't it? And consequently, his age is getting on his nerves. See what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was in the office out at the morning with 6 or 7 of the men. I'm making plans. I reckon mapping out the program of what they're going to do that day or turn out, you know. And it hit him, in other words, and he was gone time they got him to that hospital.
Yeah.
He was 60. He was about 65 years old.
Yeah.
I think he was already 65.
And had all that money.
And had the money. And now then to tell me it to married again, you know, his daddy one, you know, you haven't been here long enough. You didn't know him at all. You might have remembered him. His daddy was old man Gus that had all that popped in cattle, Brahma cattle up here out of Micanopy. Will Gus, did you ever remember him? He'd been dead now about five years. But he married a young woman, and she taken the whole wet. And the boy was staying with him after old man had been dead for a while. Well, then he marries her. She was a young woman. She was only 55, and he was 90 when he died. And the boy and I was living with him, in other words, and they say, you know, of course, I didn't know, because I didn't know what they weren't doing, in other words, but he was taking care of the homework, you know what I mean. But that happened, in other words, you know what I mean. But it wasn't too many months before he married, and he'd work at the university. He had plenty to do, in other words, but she wanted to work and bring some money in to get some groceries. But she wasn't no pauper, but my brother's wife didn't get nothing, and the half-sister didn't get anything. Mark didn't get anything. Of course, Mark didn't need him. He was the only boy. Mm-hmm. Allie and Mark was the only heirs, you know, from him, see?
Yeah.
But his first wife married again, and they had this girl by Madison Johnson. And, of course, she wasn't expecting anything because she's out of the picture, see, because her daddy wasn't Guthrie. Her daddy was Madison Johnson.
Well, now, let me get that straight. Old man Guthrie now.
He married a young...
I never seen him, but I know who he is. Now, that's his son down there?
That's his son that died with a heart attack, and my sister-in-law is his only daughter. And she still lives.
That's his son that died with a heart attack, and your sister-in-law.
That's right. That's a girl. That's only two children.
What's her? Oh.
Allie and Morris. That's only two children he had. Now, after Allen's mother married, you know, Madison Johnson, and he died, then she married Charlie White, Micanopy. Did you know him?
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie died, and the Baptist preacher, you know, beat him out of the home and everything up there. He changed the will. Baptist preacher, now, mind you. He changed the will, you know, on his deathbed. And he had $500 in cash in his pocket. He's a kind of a peculiar fella, but he carried his money with him. 500 cash dollars in his pocket. And it up and disappeared. Well, they surmised, though, they don't know, you know, circumstantial. They didn't push nothing, but they surmised that Gant, Preacher Gant, got that.
Oh, I knew Gant.
Well, he's the one who got it.
Let me tell you, I didn't know him well, but I knew one of his big supporters there, old Oscar Green.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And Oscar thought he was...
jam up.
Head of everything.
Oh, yes.
And one of the last things Oscar did, you know, when he had that cancer bone, that must be painful.
Oh, yes.
He went out, and one of the last things he ever did was go out with Gant collecting money.
Uh-huh.
And just in extreme pain all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Visiting the sick and collecting the money.
Well, Baron Dent was living in. Baron was coming to ask me confidential, in other words, a good man. And I told him, well, I couldn't advise you. He said, well, he says, he's a Baptist minister, I'm a deacon. He was a deacon of the church. And he told me how he was doing and acting, and he was overcharging. He was fixing out them income tax papers, them local people, and robbing them. And he wanted to spend the church's money little or nothing. I said, you on the board, you deacon. I said, you deacon should, you know, handle the Lord's business like it ought to be handled. He said, that's the trouble. He said, we got about two that feel like I do, don't want to go along with him, but the others do, and they, you know, majority rule. And Ben, he finally, before he died, he pulled out of the church.
You know, I didn't know him.
You didn't? But he was a fine fellow.
Yeah.
His wife is still working down at that sawmill, frankly.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, talking to me confidential. You know how people are when they know somebody and like them real well. They get so much on the mind, emotionally upset, and they come and, you know, ask you something. I've had several.
You take Barry's children. Now, he had two boys and a girl.
That's right. And they the ones that I got my fertilizer from, and, you know, they beat someone old about 15 or $20 a ton on putting out my fertilizer.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, on that liquid fertilizer.
Oh, really?
And someone old that bunch down there, well, they held Ava and I both up. And I said, well, I says, they all busy and they can't put it out. And I said, I'm a little late with my oat crop anyway. And I said, I want to get them in. Well, I waited on the window boy, and he was behind the custom work to fix my land. Well, they wouldn't do it. And finally, I got that McCray boy. You know him, Jack McCray. Well, he bought that tractor here out there and left it because he said, I'm going in the army. He said, you just take it and use it. Ford tractor with an A-frame harrow. A 3,000 with a 4,000 rear end and tires on it. And I said, I got a shed to keep it under. And I said, I'd like to use it. And he said, well, go ahead and use it. If you want to, use it for your current air, in other words, because he's done a little work for air. And use it any way you want to. Make a little money with it, be all right. But I said, I've already got a contract with Minute Maid, and I got to go to Orange with my trucks. So he left out there, and I kept it, anything about 5 or 6 weeks. And got my land and got my oats and everything in, and I said, I wanted that fellow to come fertilize it after I'd done planting them, see. It's so late, I went on after, couldn't get the Seminole there behind. Then I went down and I went in there and seen old Robert. And I knew Robert's wife. She's a local girl that I'm making over. And she was in there, and they had coffee, in other words, and wanted to give me a cookie, in other words. And she put on a lot of weight, you know how they all raised her, and she's a friendly old girl. And seemed to be a pretty good old girl. And I told her what I wanted and said, one of them will be in. Well, finally, in other words, the boy come in. She got a son, you know, drives the truck. Robert has. His son drives the truck. And he came in, and I told him where I lived, and I told him I wanted to bring, you know, 2 tons of fertilizer and put on them oats. And he said he'd be there. So
and
sure enough, he was
Seminole.
There. And he beat Seminole on the price. So I had put after, of course, they came up and the weather, you know, we had summer weather. Max, you know, he thought it was disease and the area did too, but it was weather. Of course, the rye, you know, had a little that looked like disease. But this 501 oats that I'm combining, they're supposed to be the best there and supposed to be free from all that fungus and all, see? That's the reason I'm combining because the seed's going to be scarce. And if I plant any more, I'm using them. If I don't, why, I'm going to sell them, you know, maybe get $1.75 or $2 a bushel for them. Then I'm going to put it in grass, so that girl wanted to rent it, but all she wanted to give me about what I had in it, in other words. Wouldn't want to give me about $10 an acre, in other words, for the thing. And fertilizing the seed and all, I had more than that in it. See what I mean? You know what it costs, you know, to put in a crop of stuff.
Yeah.
And I told Ernest, no, I wasn't going to let him have it. And I'm going to leave it there. And the air says he's working up down with them university fellas, and they're telling me, you know, to get it to the milk stage, you know, and bale it. And he says a cow would eat more than you think for that roughage and get enough of seed, you know. If milk stays, it's done dried out and still there, it'll do him some good. Said it'd be more neutral than that is any hay you can get, so he said. Well, that's that talk, no, it's just like talking about the cattle corral, making a cutting spin, in other words. He said, we don't need no elaborate outfit like that, like the stock market got, you know, with all them gate and the man sitting up there. All we need is about 3 pins to cut them in, 4 at the most. I said, well, you can have that. Now, it's easy enough. We got it lined up there, and I made him a drawing plan. He said, you like that idea. And he said, protection for the men and better than what they got, you know, from the university. But the old man wanted to know if I could build it, according. I said, well, yeah, I can do that. I said, I had the experience out there, wanted one built, you know, like that. But he decided he didn't like it and asked me what I thought about it, and I told him I didn't like it. Then the man told me, he said, you build it like it, you think it ought to be built. That's what old Hinch had finally done up there. After I told him I'm cutting gates wouldn't work, and we spent $100 of taxpayer money out there, that new project, you know, out there back of the dairy barn out there on up to Hague, you know where that new project hit. And that mullet head, you know, he done got him 200 acres and used all the government, state's equipment, tractors and everything, got it all fixed up, because that nigga told me he'd been with him 13 years. He wasn't lying. I knew he was that kind of a fella. But hear him talk, why, he's one of those smart fellas.
Oh, he is.
But I didn't argue with him. I told Larry, I said, well, if they got the money, I got time, and he wanted to strike for me. But I said, my head man, I said, he's the head of the whole department, animal science division, out under. That's Dr. Cunha. And he's the one, you know, I'm really working on it, but this scratch foreman, that's trouble. They got too many darn foremen and boss men that giving orders and they're not doing a damn thing.
Oh, yes.
Am I right or wrong?
Yes.
You've been up there.
Yes.
It didn't take me long to find it out. But I didn't argue with them or say anything, because you can't buck an organization like that.
No. Because they're there all the time.
Yeah.
Well, now, down here at Bedford's, GP's, you already got your pins working down there?
Yeah, no, we got them started, but we got them, we know where they're working. Now, what, now you move that stuff over next to the highway, yonder, where that man was found, you know, at the shop, and it wasn't robbed, and he called somebody. That's on the Sifter Road, that's Marne Lake.
Yeah.
You can see it from the road, that pin. We moved the chute and the cutting thing over there, and we cut those calves. You know, he got 300 or 400 head of commercial cows that bought, you know, from Shand, and bought from that old William fellow over there and gave him cash money, in other words, in a sack, and he taking a trip, you know, with that young woman, old well-drilling William.
No.
Give him $75,000 in cash money in a cloth bag.
Yes.
$75,000 cash.
Yeah.
And he taking a cruise and way down in the islands. And they got his cow. Then they bought, you know, a bunch of Shand and Pond, in other words. Then they got some nice cattle.
Well,
in fact, the old calf looked really better than the rest of the Huffin.
Well, what happened to the old man? It was $75,000. He get back?
He spent it all, I think. He's still, I don't know where he is now, but I think he's told it away. He ain't got nothing. Larry, you know, the boy, in other words, he's kind of gotten up, you know, where he doing or something. He's doing well now. I'm fixing old pumps, in other words. Did you get him to fix your pump for you, or who'd you get? You didn't get Long or Levitt. Who'd you get to fix your pump that time? Joe Hare?
Yeah.
You did?
There's one boy over there at Joe Hare's that he's first rate. That young fella.
Birch. Charlie Birch.
No.
Not Joe's boy. Joe,
no.
John. He drinks beer all the time. I don't know whether he's sober enough to work on a pump or not.
I'll tell you who he is.
But I know who you mean. He lives in a trailer there in Macon Open.
No.
Don't he?
No. He built himself a house.
He built a house down off the Gainville, off the four lane. Yeah, Collie. He's the one that painted Collie's pickup truck. Said he'd paint mine. But I had mine painted, in other words, with the man that lives on that road over there, and he got a place in Ocala. And he wants some hay, and I told him I didn't have anything, and I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you paint my pickup truck, I'll give you a ton of hay, and your boy can come here in his Ford. He had a new Ford pickup truck with a big body on it. So he came and got a ton of hay, and I told Ernest to pick me up down at the place of business. It's in the old feed where they used to grind corn and all on 2nd Avenue, you know where the Alice Chalmers factory place is? That street, it cuts off the main cutoff. I think they call it the first street.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on by and comes out down at Libby's.
Yeah.
That's where you're in. That old big tin building, the big building, they used to have for feed, grind and mill, and the custom ground, you know, corn and grits for people. And they stored in mixed feeds, you know, for people years ago. But he's the one that painted my truck, in other words, and made it two-tone for a ton of hay, and that fella here in Orange Lake, he wanted $75 to paint that pickup. Two colors. I said, I'll paint it one color for $65. I said, I want it painted just like it was. Green and a cream top. Well, you didn't notice it, did you? Let me tell. After I wasn't going to trade it by then, I said, well, I'm going to keep it another year or two, and it's in good shape. And I said, I believe I'll paint it. It'll preserve it and help the looks of it.
Yeah.
Never had been painted, you know, since I've had it.
You know, and I don't know
anything. He had a 300,000 mile on that pickup, and it runs as good as new and does the work of a new one, Haul them calves off for him, and I hauled Isaac the other Sunday, in other words, for him, Sunday evening.
Who's?
The Nixon boy, Isaac Nixon. He had 4 head late calves.
Yeah.
They're pretty, too, and he asked me what they bring. I said, about $500, a little better.
Let me tell you, Everett, I've got some good-sized bull calves that are pulling the cows down.
Well,
one of the cows is an old cow. Now, could I sell them for veal and come out?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, now, I don't know when they get to the veal stage.
How much would you think the calves would weigh?
I'm no judge of calves.
Would they weigh 250?
I've got absolutely no idea.
Well, when were they born? You might know that.
Yeah?
I'm telling you about
They're born February.
Well, they're not quite old enough.
No.
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 Now, JP got some over at was born in December and 1st of January.
Yes.
Because they raise the devil and the darn nuts, in other words, is big enough to make some mountain oysters. Sure enough, you eating some of them. Doctor said, well, a lot of these are small. I said, well, it's like oysters. They always said the small oysters had more flavor, and maybe that's the way with these textiles, you know, that we're putting in the bucket. We got a can full of them, you know, that many, in other words, but it fills up, you know.
Yeah.
And they liked them. They call them mountain oysters. You've heard of them, right? Mountain oysters. But I never tried any of them, in other words. But people now, they try anything, and I said, they probably put them things in sauce. You don't know what you're getting when you're buying sausage and bologna meat and all that. They may put some of them, you know, textile in that.
Morris who? Guthrie?
He's the one that died, and his wife, in other words, she's a bookkeeper and handled a deal, and a daughter, they got one girl, Marsh, he got one daughter. That's the only child he had by his other wife.
Yeah.
And they went to the funeral, and he said didn't ask a girl, but she raised up, her nickname was Fethi. I raised up with a girl that's about 40, around 40 years old, I imagine. Marsh is 65, so I imagine about 40 years old.
And he left.
And he, my brother in Jacksonville, I stopped by to see him. He asked a boy, and Ed, and he's a retired railroad man that married the girl.
Yeah.
He got injured on the job, and he's getting full disability, and he's not able to work.
Yeah.
And she's working. She's a bookkeeper for a gas company to help out, you know, because he don't draw but around $100 a month. I believe that's what it is. Seems like I think his pension called for about $4,000 a year.
Yeah.
And they got two boys, and that's not enough. They own their own home. They got a nice home, but that's not enough to sustain them, so she's still holding on to her job, and she makes about $90 a week, you know, bookkeeping at an oil company. But my brother didn't ask her, but he asked her husband, Ed Nelson is his name, and Ed said, well, you know how women are, says they got it fixed with the lawyers and all that. She got it fixed her way and says she won't get nothing. But the way I understood it, you know, past, is she'd get a child apart. Can't that girl get a child apart? That's her own daughter.
Yeah. Well, now, let me tell you, Morris, now he had all that place down there, foundry, works, or whatever.
That's right, and got 400 or 500 head of commercial cows. And owned about 700 acres of land.
Yeah.
And my oldest brother, the oldest one at Max's age, he done retired from his job, gets his Social Security, and he's allowed to make $1,600 a year. He's up there driving one of them 5,000 Fords, you know, and got in all of his rye and stuff, you know, and his job was giving him a load of hay. Said he'd give him, you know, 80 or 100 bales of hay on a trailer, you know, a day. But the winter wasn't too bad. He said, well, it didn't really need it, but Morris said he had it, and it would help, you know, keep that rye in him, give him the coward. And he had the hay, you know, barn full of hay anyhow.
Yeah.
And he had somebody come in and cut it on shares or something.
Yeah.
And he filled his barn up, so my brother, his job was, you know, looking after the cows when they're calving and giving them hay.
Yeah.
And I reckon maybe they probably got 90% of the calf crop that the, you know, a lot of people, you know, to say, you know, like you did, you know, kept the bull where you'd have the calves a certain month or 2 month time or something.
Yeah.
But I haven't talked to him. I didn't get to go down that to the funeral.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it in time, in other words. But then the other brother that lives in Dunedin, his wife, brother, died, and he's the one that had the cancer, and he was in New York. They had him in Johns Hopkins a long while, and he liked Maxie. He had that bone cancer. And they're taking out everything. They finally lost his voice. You know, Maxie, you know, lost his one time, but he got it back.
Yeah.
But Maxie, you know, what a miracle happened to Maxie just between you and I.
Yeah.
But this boy lost his voice, you know, and that thing taking out all his jawbone, just like Maxie.
Yeah.
And he finally, you know, got so weak, in other words, until he was down here during the winter because it had such a terrible freeze and all to do is just keep the cold, you know, poured in the New York State. You know, they had an unusual bad weather up there,
yeah,
this year.
Yeah.
You've heard about it on the news, I reckon. So he come down and stayed with his sister, my sister-in-law. You know, he got so bad until they put him on the airplane, rushed him back up there, and he didn't make it.
Yeah.
Then they've had to bring him back down on the train. Then they buried him, you know, where her mother and his mother is, and done eat. But I didn't get to go down there. It rained that weekend, and Ernest told me I'd use his car.
And so, Mark, they showed bad judgment.
Well, he let that woman show you know what women is. There's a few good ones in the world, but there's lots of bad ones. Ayer had the same thing. He'd been caught up there in Gainesville this week. He got off from the university up there. But he had a little knee trouble, and he gave him an excuse that knee did. Going to the doctor, he went to the medical center first, you know, and wouldn't charge him anything, you see, you know, from the university, see. But they wasn't doing him any good, so then he finally decided to go down to that Corellas, that Greek, over at Newberry.
Yeah.
And the first thing they done, he shot him a load of, you know, cortisone already in there. But anyway, he'd been up there on court on his uncle's estate. And that woman done the same thing. And Aaron knew it, all of them. And, of course, I know you won't say anything about it, but Aaron telling me, I'd show you about a man in our neighborhood if he won't back you up. I said, I found that out. That Zetra out there, Albert. He told Aaron, anything I do, I'll back you up. And they got Aaron in court to see, you know, what they're doing. But what they done, she got with old Dr. White. He's up there at the university. You've probably seen the paper. You might have seen him if you were up there. He was in that escology or some kind of business, you know, they had a discussion up there the other week.
Yeah.
Old Dr. White, he's the one that was in the deal. And he got his nest feathered, in other words. Now, I'm talking about money now. His uncle worth $3 million, they said, maybe more.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And that young woman he married, she's the one that got with the lawyers and got with the doctor, and Dr. White carried him up to him, and they said that Aaron had him to sign some paper. And Aaron witnessed, in other words, but Aaron said it wasn't his handwriting. I said, well, what'd you do? Well, I scared Joseph out here. I said, Joseph is a college graduate, and he's taking some law, but he wasn't a lawyer, but he had some law in school, like I did. I had two courses in law up at university for elective courses. And Joseph was an architect. And he's really good. And he bought a place out there, and we built that fence around. Well, you saw it. That's the man that got the new fence in the area, got his cows in there. I think you rode through there, you know, where the boating place is. And he's finally, you know, done spent about $5,000 or $10,000 on the home. Got him a swimming pool.
Oh,
got
yeah.
him a fodder room.
Oh, has he?
Oh, yeah. And he's making money. He hasn't retired yet. He's a little younger than I am. But he's still working and making his money. I'm an architect. They make money. He makes a salary. He don't make no graves, you know, like a lot of you fellas. And this girl says, "Now, we a lot of think well, my husband professor thinks he makes about $15,000-$20,000 a year, but they just don't do it up at the university." And I said, "No," I says, "They told me, in other words, that I'm making more in the foreman world than I was up there, in other words." Said, "Well, what were you making?" I said, $8,200. Said, "That's right." Said, "My husband ain't making much, $7,500 a year, teaching school." But I thought he'd make it more than that.
Yeah.
But she's telling me that, you know, where she wouldn't have to pay me. She said that doctor charged her $8 an hour. She had a doctor to mow a pasture before.
Yeah.
$8 an hour
yeah.
for the mowing and mowing. I said, "Well, I know things going up, but I haven't gone up that much." Said, "Well, what have you been getting?" I said, "Well, if they got as much as a day's work, in other words, I only charge $6 an hour." She said, "Well, that's more like it." That's what you said. It used to be four, and it went up to five. And I said, the dark is down. In other words, they got 2 or 3 or 4 acres. If I'm in a neighborhood, I won't mind stopping and doing it. But if I got to move the thing from the house and drive on the highway and wear my tires out, I had to buy a new one. It cost me $101 for the tractor. And I said, it costs you money to put them tractors on the highway.
Hey, I don't believe
hey, how you doing?
This is
an
inspector.
If this is not a ghost...
Don't drop these.
Howdy.
Fine.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Glad to see you.
Yeah, I come by to drop to see what he was doing.
You can
and,
see. Well,
I brought you a,
good, well,
a cabbage.
Well, it has it.
We just put it on cookie.
I'm gonna have to come back another time because I got to go and tend to business. But I told him I'd visit with him for an hour or so.
Well, let me tell you, Everett.
But there's a lot of grass.
I just came. That's no fair.
We're going to eat in a little no time, and you can go ahead with your business after you eat.
Well, I don't want to put in a burden on her. And I've got Perlo in the refrigerator, and I've got
just
lima bean. I've got lima bean and chicken Perlo.
I tell you what, let me tell you. Faith, if she comes in and puts something right on the table, and she'll have it here. And while she does that, I want you to
look at the cast.
Yes.
All right.
We'll just run back there and look.
I want to get in by 8 o'clock, a little before. I want to get the ball game. The national NBA Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
And playing the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in the ball game. That's my hobby. Now, out in Jacksonville, that TV was a deal. That's what they want to look at. And it rained, I wasn't, so I got plenty of television. But I got where I don't care much about TV. It's too much advertising and bunk on it. And I said, all I want is a radio and get the news, and I'll get the ball game at night and read the paper a little bit, and I come home from work, you see.
Yeah.
Over at GP, see, I get off at 4 to 4:15 to come in and get my cow off the ride, cut them out at night, oats, and I give them, you know, 2 or 3 bales of hay.
Yeah.
And that keeps, you know, kind of does them a little good, and that's reading it. The calf is better than a cow. The cow is picking up a little now. But the cows were, you know, like yours, were getting down a little bit. The calves were pulling, especially them big calves.
Yeah.
And I finally decided that little dam up carried them off, and one of them was big enough, he weighed a little over 400 pounds, and my sister-in-law, you know, wanted to butcher that, and you know what I used to do. She liked them smaller size.